You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we are back here for the 9 o'clock hour. Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us from NBA. Talk a little bit about the Heat game one against the Lakers. God, I can't wait.
I was about to say, Joe, say it again. The NBA Finals.
NBA Finals. They
not
did
just
it,
the
man.
Bubble, right? Nope. The Finals.
You know, it's like this is huge and it counts, and it's been great for the guys that did it the right way and treated every day like every game was important. Not everybody did that. And we're hearing the Clippers getting blasted for their treatment of just showing up and a bunch of guys leaving, taking time off and coming back and what a mess it was and everything else. But I'm with everybody else. Don't you wish this was a normal time where the Heat were going out to L.A. right now to play the Lakers in those first couple of games and then coming back here to play against the Lakers? Oh, can you even –
it'd be nice, right? It'd be
packed
nice.
Packed house, People going nuts, booing, screaming, yelling.
How bad would LeBron get booed down here, you think?
Boy, that's a – so there are a lot of people that are over it now, right? He's been gone a while, and he's actually had his run with the Cavs against Golden State. And so he's been and then he went to L.A., and this is actually his second year. People forget he was injured, and we thought he was on the downside of his career and all that stuff. So I don't think it'd be that bad.
Really?
Do you?
I think it would. I think he'd get booed.
Well, he's going to get some.
Well, just because they're playing against him, but I don't think people down here have animosity towards LeBron anymore. And if they do, they need to get over it.
He won two championships, put us in the finals all 4 years, was a big part of it. And so I think most fans are okay. They wanted to lose. They're all going to say, man, this would be great. LeBron, we want to beat them. But I think there's going to be a lot of people that still going to kiss LeBron's ass. Mm. You?
No, I think there'd be more people booing. I think if you're asking me percentage in that arena, I think I'm going the over of 50%.
No, listen, they're going to be booing. There's going to be some, you're right. But they're still going to be, hey, they haven't been that bad. Well, first of all, most of the games he didn't play for a while. Every time he came down or he sat out.
Take it off, right?
He was on the maintenance program down here. I was in Orlando last night. I'm not playing.
The Miami maintenance program, right?
So, anyway.
But you know what? In 10 years, no one's going to care about this, where the bubble was or whatever happened. It's still going to say NBA champion 2020, and you put the team name in there.
As long as they're playing 5-on-5, you're exactly right.
Right. So I don't care. Like, nothing matters. Like everyone, you know, was talking about, oh, this will be an asterisk championship for LeBron in the beginning of the bubble if he ends up winning it. Who cares? Still an NBA champion. Someone's going to get a ring. Someone's going to be NBA Finals MVP. It's going to go down in the record book as someone winning a championship this year. My only thing is at this point is why not the Heat?
What will happen is this. LeBron, if they were to lose, would get just destroyed.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
If they win, you know, it'll be LeBron. All right, you know, you beat the Heat. You were expected to do that. You were heavy favorites.
The whole story's going to be the story's going to be LeBron James. If he loses, he's going to get blasted. And he better play really well if they lose, and then they'll talk about LeBron's supporting cast sucked, and the Heat will get some credit for a great story. There will be that as a team, but this is really going to be about LeBron, whether he wins another one or not, because it ties right into Michael Jordan again, which, by the way, it's got to be a compliment to LeBron James that if it seems like most people think. Not the old school people still think the old centers are the greatest. But most people, it's either Michael Jordan or LeBron James now.
Right.
And so this just adds to that resume. If he wins again, like, took it to LA and he won again, grabbed Anthony Davis and they won it with that group.
Well, he won his fourth title with his third different team. And that fourth title puts you in a different category. Put you closer to that Michael and that Kobe category of how many championships you get. No one's going to get the Bill Russell at this point, but it just puts you in that category, and that's where he needs to get to. The funny thing would be is if the Heat win, Udonis moves into that category of having four championships, which is a funny one.
Well, that's great for him, but we're talking about the lead dog.
Right.
Like, nobody's going to be under a microscope for the finals like LeBron James. We all agree.
Not even close, right.
He's going to be the number one promoted guy in this thing. We're going to see everything about what he's done. They're going to talk about going to 10 finals now. And what's your record in those 10 finals? Do you win another one? A lot of people are going to rip him that he goes around following what he thinks are great teams and he can get guys to follow him. He dumped Cleveland. Everybody thought he was going to finish his career there after he left us. He didn't. I know a lot of old guys get on him a little bit about chasing rings by just going different places and building great teams. And did he do enough on this team? But it's that guy, but he lives under the pressure. Like, to me, there's no pressure when you talk about Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero.
But it's no one on the Heat.
Whatever you get, they got to the finals. Like,
right.
Anything you get now, any amount of wins, and if you happen to win it all, wow. Fifth seed, unbelievable. Jimmy Butler's going to be a big star. I'm sure we're going to hear more about Jimmy Butler's life and what he's overcome. But the biggest story every day, even when LeBron James is playing in some of these playoff games, they're getting another 2 million viewers.
Right.
Like some of these games he was playing, there are two million more viewers than other NBA games. So, yeah, ABC is going, get ready. What do we got new on LeBron? Get some Michael Jordan comparisons. Those are always good for everybody.
Yep,
get us in the topic conversation here of this whole thing.
Second most pressure-packed player in the series, Anthony Davis, right? I don't think it's anyone on the Heat.
No, he came too. They came to do what they're doing. Get to these finals.
Like if Anthony Davis puts up a couple stinkers in the series, which I don't think will end up happening, but if he does, a lot of it's going to go on him.
Zach, these are two best players in the series.
Right.
There's not one Heat fan that can disagree that the two best players in this thing, in this finals, are those two guys in L.A. After that, then it starts to tilt in favor of the Miami Heat from 3 to 10, there are going to be a lot of people going, oh, I like what Heat. Oh, I tell you what, I like Heat's three-point shooters a lot better.
Well, the next guy for the Lakers would be who? Rondo? Third best player?
Kuzma? I don't know.
Kuzma or Rondo? Like, and there's at least four or five guys on the Heat I'd rather have before those guys.
But this is a great matchup. You're a heavy underdog. Nothing to lose, although don't tell Jimmy Butler that. He's going, hell, guys, we're going to win this whole thing.
Right. Or Spoelstra or Riley. Don't tell them that.
So, and then it's just a matter of how all those guys play. Same bubble, same amount of people. You know, you block out that millions of people are watching you on TV and you get going. I am really curious to see how they shoot the threes in this series. And I keep talking about it. Dragon, Duncan, and Hero. How will they shoot the rock in these finals? How well can they shoot it? And I expect the other guys to play well. I expect Jimmy Butler will play well. Bam will be an interesting one. He's playing against a lot of big, strong dudes like him. Mm-hmm. That will be an interesting one. Anthony Davis, 6'10". Dwight Howard, 6'10".
Oh, they're big. No, they're big.
LeBron, I don't know. LeBron's from 6'7 to 6'9". I don't know what he is, but that's
depends on the hair. Yeah, the hair that day.
I don't know what that would be. But listen, man, this whole thing's going to be fun. We're going to talk to Brian Geltzeiler about all this stuff in just a few minutes coming up here. 83 days in the bubble. God bless the players that are in the finals. 83 days. Some of these guys didn't bring their families. 83 days. That's three off-season months.
Mm-hmm.
That you were like, all right, we're going to go for it. We got a chance. We're going to go for it. And then, you know, and now all of a sudden, there's what, 15 guys on one team, 15 on the other,
right,
walking around the facility right, where you're being quarantined.
Well, you said it a couple times. They started with 22 teams. Remember that? Now they're down to two. 20 teams have left. That's just 300 players. Forget about coaches and whatever else they brought there. That's 300 players that left.
Think about some of them were only there a couple weeks.
Right,
like
right.
Some of them been watching NBA on TV like us or gone fishing for 2.5 months.
Phoenix Suns still undefeated, by the way.
Yeah.
And they got knocked out.
Man, it's
they didn't lose a game and they only lasted a couple weeks.
The whole thing is the whole thing is going to be, I'm really curious. Who do you think will be the leading scorer for the Miami Heat in this series? The leading scorer will be
Goran Dragic. I think it's going to be Goran.
I think Jimmy Butler knows. It's got to be.
I think Jimmy Butler's going to have LeBron James on him a lot in that fourth quarter. Goran's going to be the one guy I think is going
to
not.
Still has to be Jimmy, though, right?
It doesn't have to be Jimmy.
I think Jimmy's going to have to show his offensive skills. And Jimmy's been really good in the fourth quarter of these games quietly anyway.
But if Jimmy gets 18 or 19 points a game and Goran's sitting there at 22 or Bam's at 22, and Jimmy still has a good game defensively and steals the ball and rebounds and is playing well, he doesn't need to be the leading scorer on this team. It's shown so far. Goran's the leading scorer right now, right? The postseason?
I'm not sure. Not sure.
Just by a little bit, but he is.
Hero's his average because the one game is way up and I mean,
Hero's at 16.5, Bam's at 18.5, Jimmy's at 20.7, and Goran's at 20.9.
They're from night to night, the thing about this team, they could have four or five different guys be the leading scorer.
Right.
And but they have a lot of guys to score. And if they need Tyler Hero's got to keep giving a lot of points off the bench. Everybody knows the story, man, right? It's gonna be the same old thing.
Duncan Robinson, too. Gotta have him shoot the ball.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Duncan, this is just...
And Jay Crowder's got to shoot better from the three-point line if he's going to take so many shots.
You're going, what are you doing, breaking every guy down one-on-one now?
Top six guys. Those are your top six guys in double figures in the playoffs. Duncan, Jay, Tyler, Bam, Jimmy, and Goran.
So if they go with that big lineup, do the Heat start a different lineup?
Kelly Olynyk, the next guy up, right? You haven't seen Myers-Leonard at all.
So you know what you get with Olynyk, right? You get a great shooter. Well, you get a guy
a little less on defense, yeah.
Defensively.
Right.
I don't know. That's why they pay Spoelstra the big bucks, man.
That's right.
That's why he gets paid the big, big bucks. Mm-hmm. We got to go to a break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here as we continue on, and Brian Geltzeiler will join us coming up here. You can also join us on the machine, the text machine, staying undefeated, 305-567-0560. Right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. So, you're looking around right now. The lease is up. You're over your miles. You just want a fresh new look. I know what you want. You want something that's got a lot of room that you can afford. It's got a great look and the safety features and the new technology. You want the whole thing, man. And you want it at a price you can afford. Well, I want to welcome you to South Florida Chevy dealers. And the best overall products they've ever had is right now at 2020 with a Chevy Open Road Sale event continuing on. And it's going to give you a chance to see it all, man, because I think they got it figured out. And it's a lot more than the Suburbans and the Tahoes. I love talking about all the Silverado trucks with those steel beds, all durable and the perfect truck for your lifestyle. You know that probably by now. But did you know the new 2020 Traverse, the midsize SUV, it is spacious enough to accommodate the big family, but doesn't compromise any of the style or look on it. Let's face it. Even if you got a lot more room and you look on the outside, it's ugly. You don't want it. You want something that looks good, that people are going to compliment you on. That's what you're going to get with that 2020 Traverse, the Equinox SUV, our smaller SUV. Got everything you need, and the 2020 Chevy Blazer is smoking hot. Midsize SUV. But the 2020 Chevy Blazer is a must-take for a test drive. It's a must. Hey, find your reason to switch at your local South Florida Chevy dealer, convenient locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
All right, Joe, heading back out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We're going to talk to one of our buddies, Brian Geltz, out of the Hoops Critic. You can also see him on NBA TV and hear him on NBA Sirius NBA Radio. Brian, good morning. Just like we all planned, the Heat and the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Are you ready for it?
I couldn't be more ready. You talk about fun. I mean, this is, you know, when you looked at interesting matchups that you could have, I don't know that you can get one that's more interesting. And listen, one of the things that we figured when coming into this bubble was that the lack of home court advantage would lend ourselves to potentially a more random outcome than we would normally see in an NBA final when you did have teams playing on their home courts. And listen, the Heat are terrific. Don't get me wrong. They've played fantastic. But this was kind of, listen, a 5 seed going 12-3 in the Eastern Conference to get through it is the kind of random outcome that, you know, we very well figured that we could happen in this bubble. And here you go, the Miami Heat are the ones getting it done.
So, Brian, we look at this, Anthony Davis, 6'10", Dwight Howard, 6'10", who's been starting here at least against Denver, and LeBron James at, we know, 6'8", 6'7", 6'9", whatever he is. And then I look at the Heat, who have great three-point shooters in Dragon, Hero, and Robinson. So who makes the adjustments? Is it more about the Lakers going to play the big lineup, or do they have to go a little smaller to cover all the shooters for the Heat? Who will make the adjustment there?
I think the Lakers or Frank Vogel will make the adjustment, Joe. You know, you look at what the way the Lakers played the Houston Rockets, and I think you'll see something similar there. Because when the Lakers go smaller, they're still huge. And that's something that you can't forget. Ultimately, listen, they'll start with a big. I think they'll stay with Dwight Howard in the starting lineup. And what you'll probably see from the Heat is that they'll let Crowder guard Dwight early on and take their chances there with the lob game, figuring that if for whatever it is, they'll be able to stifle everybody else, and it's not a terrible matchup for them with Crowder there. I think in the end, you'll see Anthony Davis spend the majority of this series playing at the five. And if I'm Frank Vogel, I kind of figure, listen, I've gotten to this final on the backs of my two stars. And although the Heat are one of the few teams in the league that have natural matchups for those stars, I don't know that I'm going to play units that run me away from those matchups. If I'm Frank Vogel, I'm cool with those matchups. I'll live with, you know, Bam having to deal with Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, who's one of the better LeBron defenders in the league, having to deal with LeBron. And if that's not working out, then maybe I'll look to go to adjust from there. But I think it would be nuts for Frank Vogel to match up away from LeBron and Anthony Davis and not play to his strengths.
Boy, has a dynamic changed on Jimmy Butler, right, in 1 year, going from a guy that maybe is a bad teammate in the locker room, Minnesota, Chicago, not working out in Philly, to the most perfect person to join this Heat culture and this Heat team down here. The national perspective on Jimmy had to have changed a lot in the last 12 months, right?
It certainly has, Zach. Listen, it understand something about Jimmy Butler. They were the Philadelphia 76ers last year. They were a couple of Kawhi Leonard bounces on the rim away from going to a conference final with Jimmy Butler there. And I think it's very important to note that. With that said, Jimmy Butler has a way with his personality of making guys feel uncomfortable in a locker room. And generally that's geared towards two entities, coaches and young players. And Brett Brown's a guy that if the team's playing well, he'll be uncomfortable. Like he was in the end fine with it. But I really think as much as Simmons and Embiid made public statements in support of Jimmy Butler, I don't know that the private statements were the same thing. And one thing you have to remember here regarding Jimmy Butler, he had two choices last summer if he was going to get a four-year max, the Miami Heat and the Houston Rockets. That was it. The Sixers never offered him a four-year max. Think about this, what the Sixers have to, and Elton Brand have to live with right now. They offered Tobias Harris a contract. They refused to offer Jimmy Butler. And that's a tough pill to swallow. But here's the other thing regarding Butler and the kind of leader that he is. He needs the right followers. And I mean it in this way. When you were looking at him trying to convert a culture in Minnesota with two number one overall picks and Karl-Anthony Towns, and let's face it, guys, two players that through the course of their basketball lifetimes have only been told how terrific they are. Then you want to replicate that with the Sixers, with Embiid, who was a number three overall, but would have been a number one overall if he didn't have the injuries, and another number one overall pick in Ben Simmons. It was a similar situation in these guys. And if you think Ben Simmons liked being relegated in the playoffs to that dunker spot, to having a ball out of his hands, he was a good soldier about it publicly. Privately, it was not happy for him at all. But the bottom line was this. The work ethic for those guys, the willingness to have Butler teach them everything they needed to know about being great NBA players was just not there. You come to Miami, and all of a sudden your group of young guys are a number 13 overall pick, and Bam Adebayo had to work for everything he's gotten in this league and in this world. Tyler Hero's another guy, had to work his tail off to achieve what he wanted to achieve. Duncan Robinson, let's face it, was out of the league. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, but Mark Titus of The Ringer posted an email that Duncan Robinson sent him about becoming a writer 2 years ago. Or a writer.
Wow.
He had no – he was convinced he wasn't going to be in the league. So the truth of the matter is, Butler got his hands on guys who had ability, who had talent, who the Heat developed. But more than that, they were willing to roll their sleeves up and do the work in the way that the young players in the other places weren't. And that's a huge, huge factor here in the fact that Butler has fit so well in Miami.
Brian, were you as surprised as we were that Doc Rivers was let go by the Clippers yesterday? I didn't think they would do it.
I wasn't, Joe. I mean, listen, I think that they were, in one hand, I could have gone either way. I think they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. Doc has been an incredible ambassador for that organization, and he has led them through some very tough times and tough circumstances. He became, and he's always been a good ambassador for the league, but the leadership role that he took regarding racial inequality and social justice with these players in the bubble was invaluable. With all said, I think if we're being fair about it, he got out coached 10 ways coming and going in that Western Conference final. And I know there's, you know, some questions about his work ethic, you know, in terms of the amount of preparation that he puts in. And certainly the Clippers in a game seven played like a desperate team. Doc's just a coach who I think does a better job but less talent. I mean, he needs a natural locker room leader that's at the top of his roster. The natural locker room leader he had was Patrick Beverley, who is a good, scrappy player, but he's a little bit of a lunatic. And everything that comes out of his mouth isn't what you would want from one of your team leaders. And Doc kind of left the locker room to the devices of his players, and it didn't work out well. When you combine that with the fact that X's and O's were compromised, you look at Steve Ballmer being a guy who, let's face it, has a bottomless pit in terms of what he's willing to spend, and it kind of all adds up. It'll be very interesting to see what the Clippers do here. I'm not terribly surprised that they ended up going in this direction. I do know that they waited back and forth for a while. They really strongly considered the ramifications of letting Doc go, and in the end, this was Steve Ballmer's call, and it's a call. Steve Ballmer, keep one thing in mind. Steve Ballmer bought this team from Donald Sterling, and he bought a team that had a big three in Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin. And he asked his front office, which Doc was a part of, do you think we can win a championship with these three guys together? And the answer he got was probably not. Conference finals is probably our ceiling. And Ballmer said, blow it all up. I want a title team. And so this is what they're working towards. If you're not going to be part of that and be the kind of championship coach for the group that they've managed to put together here, you know, Ballmer has a goal with this organization. Doc's been paid very nicely for his work there. I know Doc's not happy with the fact that this happened, and I do understand why he's not happy, but I think it was a hard decision for Steve Ballmer. I think in the end, for that organization and where they are and where they want to go, it was probably the right one.
Just a little follow-up. What's a better job looking ahead? Because I've heard 76ers and Pelicans could be interested. Which job's better for Doc, and which one would you take?
If I'm Doc, I take neither. I really do. I take neither. If I'm Doc, I've got $10 million a year for the next 2 years that I'm going to collect regardless here. And for Doc, who I really think that for him, you know, media and some other roles may be good for him to solidify himself in right now. And I think Doc won't stop being a hot name. There are openings every year. But I think for the Pelicans, I don't know that they would pay Doc's freight. Now, again, I'm sure there's offset language in Doc's Clipper contract, so he's going to make his $10 million either way. But I wonder from Doc at this stage, and I just dealt with what I dealt with here, and I just been in a bubble, if I wouldn't rather go spend some time playing golf, collecting 10 mil, and announcing games next season whenever the season begins than jumping into two other jobs with large expectations and a whole lot of pressure on them. Which one's a better job right now? I would probably say New Orleans is a better job if you throw salary out. But Philadelphia will be a much higher-paying job. Again, if Doc's got offset language in his contract, that won't matter to him. But I'd be very surprised, guys, if Doc dives back in here.
That Philly job, though, looks like a little bit of a mess, no? Like, if you're going in there and you see all these guys getting paid so much money, there's really no wiggle room unless you start trading major players away on that team. Who do you think's the next coach there? Do you think they go with a young guy, or do they try to bring in a guy that could come in there and hopefully run that locker room?
Listen, I think Ty Lue's the right fit in Philly. I also believe that Al Horford is not going to play another game in the Philadelphia 76er uniform. And if they have to attach first-round picks to him, so be it. I think they're going to find a way, whether it's getting Chris Paul from OKC, whether it's checking in with the Jazz on Mike Conley and figuring out what they can do there, and maybe getting a third team involved. I would be very surprised to see. It could even be C.J. McCollum. They could figure something out with. Who knows? My point is that I think for the Sixers, and that's why I don't know. Like, I like Mike D'Antoni for that job if they can make a deal and he can get in there and have personnel power. But I do know that Mike D'Antoni is only really going to take that Philly job if he is intimately involved in the personnel decisions their front office makes regarding the roster. Because Mike D'Antoni, the way he wants to play, does not fit this roster. I'm not sure this roster fits the way anybody wants to play. But I think for Ty Lue, having great players is something that he would put his arms around. And again, one thing about Ty Lue you have to remember, the Lakers offered him 3 years and $18 million to go coach LeBron James. Ty Lue refused to take that deal. He wanted $5 at $35 because he felt like he should be paid like a guy that's got a championship ring. And I admire and respect the fact that he held himself to that kind of standard financially. I think that the Philadelphia 76ers right now, with the position that they're in, will step up with the years and the money that Ty Lue expects.
Brian, real quickly, before we let you run, who do you like in this best-of-seven series coming up starting Wednesday night?
I'm going to take the Lakers in six. I was leaning towards maybe taking the Lakers in seven. I think it's going to be a very hard-fought series, but I also think that eventually the Lakers' size on the perimeter is going to wear the Heat down. Keep one thing in mind, and to me this is the whole key of the series. Look at Miami's three-point shooting attempts. The Lakers have been absolutely brilliant in these playoffs at limiting the amount of threes teams take. From Portland to Houston. Houston likes to take 50 threes a game. They were in the 30s, the low 30s, two of the last three games they played in that series. The Lakers are fantastic at doing that, and we've seen with Miami, they will take twos when the twos are there. But if there's one criticism I've had of Miami, at times in the Boston series, they started hunting threes a little bit too much. With the way the Lakers defend and their size on the perimeter, that's death against the Lakers. So I do think that's probably going to be the one weakness that wears on the Heat. But again, I will also say this to you guys. I say the Lakers in six. It wouldn't totally shock me if the Heat win this series. I think Miami has played so far above what we ever thought they could be, and it's not a mirage. It's not something that, hey, they just kind of lucked out here. They've been dominant in a really good Eastern Conference, and I think for the Lakers here, they're going to have their hands full.
Guilty, we're going to pencil you in for the Heat, so that's what we'll do down here. We'll pencil you in for
the Heat. Whatever you guys want to do, still with me.
You're always welcome down here, Guilty. That's all right, man. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Brian.
Guys, always my pleasure. We'll do it again soon. Take care.
All right, it's Brian Geldseiler, the Hoops Critic, founder of HoopsCritic.com. You can hear him on SiriusXM NBA Radio and NBA TV as well.
All right, man. He's
a good breakdown there, right?
He's always jacked up on that coaching stuff, too,
yep,
man. That's,
yep.
By the way, why is it nobody gets mad when all these black and white coaches get retreaded in the NBA? And how do new guys get those jobs?
It's tough. I mean, listen, if you're looking for a coach right now and Doc Rivers got fired yesterday, isn't he at the top of your list now?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it doesn't matter who else.
They said he's on top of the Pelicans and the 76ers.
Right. Billy Donovan was out of coaching for about an hour.
But I got to tell you something, man. I didn't know those guys made, he said $10 million a year.
Doc's contract, I believe, was the biggest coaching contract. That's what I think it was.
Man, that's right up there. God, that's right. Making Nick Saban money right there.
Right.
That and the coach of Clemson, Dabo Swinney, makes big money too. All right. Enough for those college guys getting paid in big business. We got to take a quick break. We'll come in and check on the machine. 305-567-0560 right after this. All right. Welcome back. Want to thank, boy, I'll tell you what, Gelsey was strong today, man.
Fired up. Right.
We'll see how it all plays out. Big day tomorrow. Big day. Playoffs. Not just one, but two. The Marlins and the Cubs, game one at Wrigley Field. And, of course, the other one is tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, game one of the Lakers and the Heat.
You're thinking like 9:20 or are we thinking like really 9 o'clock?
No, 9 sharp.
Okay. Did you already send the
You've
memo?
You've been to enough of those games to know right. they don't start at 9.
Right.
Tip-off's at least 9:15.
No, this is a – matter of fact, on ABC it says sharp 9 start.
That'd be great. I just don't believe you.
We are starting at 9, pregame at 8:30.
Oh.
Yeah, I did. I made that up. You're probably right. Everything leaks into the 9 o'clock. I got you. No
Can you stay up and watch the whole game? Because usually, like, when the games would be real late, I'd come into the studio in the morning, and you'd already be here, and you're sitting, like, all set up watching the replay of the game.
I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I'm going to try to do is stay awake till midnight and then listen to interviews and stuff. I'm just not. That's a young man's game, and I'm not doing that. 305-567-0560. Zach, what do we have coming in, man?
All right. We talked earlier about Giancarlo Stanton running to first base and getting injured. Someone texted in Devontae Parker would get injured running to first base. Yeah. People still a little bit down on the injury, huh?
Listen.
Stanton's much softer than Devontae, though, isn't he?
I mean, come on, man.
Like, leave Devontae alone.
So give it to Devontae Parker, who's not running 100%. He's still playing. And I give him a lot of credit because there were a lot of people in that organization when he got hurt and missed that game. Now I'm trying to confuse what the game was. The game down here, everybody was concerned he was going to shut it down for a game or two, and he didn't do it. Came back and played last week. That's pretty but the game before came back and has played. So he's only missed a half of football, even though he doesn't have the quickness to take off and go. He's still playing, and I think it helps everybody by the fact he's out there.
Someone said, Joe, it's going to be fun to see the coaching chess match starting tomorrow in the NBA Finals. I'm a lifelong Laker fan, been listening to you guys since the first team. Wow, it's a long time ago. Lakers adjusted, and we went small against the Rockets. I see them doing that again if they have to. I got the Lakers in 6.
All right. Well, we're gonna hit that hard tomorrow, what everybody is thinking about this series. But that was a good point, by the way. They did play and have played against Houston, so they played against smaller lineup. But we're a little bigger than the Houston lineup.
Yeah.
Bam.
Houston had six center.
I was going to say, Jimmy would have been the tallest guy in the starting five with that group.
Right. That's like Jay Crowder coming out and playing center for this team the whole time. He's still actually a bit taller than P.J. Tucker. The zone actually plays into the Lakers' offensive rebounding strength. It's a coaching thing.
We didn't really talk much about it. Looked like Boston never really got comfortable and then got lazy trying to get inside the zone. They had a little bit of success, but Spoelstra really stuck with the zone. But I don't know how that flies with this team getting ready to play the Lakers in that zone. So different group of guys.
All right. Someone also said a football question for you. Cincinnati better be careful. Two quarterbacks with bright futures that ended due to terrible offensive line allowing sacks, Carr and Luck.
Well, I'll tell you what. Did anybody see Joe Burrow? I think he got sacked 8 times, and
he
God only knows
crushed.
How many hits.
Right.
And he's a tough kid, and I think he's going to be really good. But they didn't do anything on that offensive line this year. It's just. You gotta draft these guys. You gotta give them something. You know how many guys have been drafted? Tomorrow, I'm gonna look at a list of guys. I've talked to Steve Barkowski about this. He was the first guy taking Atlanta Falcons. He's a Golden Bear. He was a Cow Bear right ahead of me. And like, you got no shot. Like, even though he played a long time, he had the big arm. But you play in a bad team. Look what happened to Jim Plunkett. He went to New England. He was terrible. Right. Went to the Raiders and put that small helmet, that big head inside that thing, and he played a lot better.
Here's a good one. I'm so sick of Paul Pierce and the Heat hate. I thought broadcasters and talent were supposed to at least try to be impartial. I loved Wade trolling him on Twitter after the game. Yeah, it's fun trolling Paul Pierce after the series.
I don't think Paul Pierce got a lot of friends. A lot of guys take shots at him.
Right. Paul Pierce is an ass clown.
He just... Some have tried to tell us it's showbiz, this whole thing, but the Ray Allen stuff, just that whole group.
Really petty. Very petty.
Like, really? You guys won a championship together. You guys did exactly what Ray Allen did.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's stupid. Refs have control. Quick fouls on Bam. Who's going to guard AD then? Refs got to let these teams play, and Miami's got a chance.
Yeah, that's always an interesting one. See how they call the game.
Right. Especially early. You got a guy in foul trouble early on either side. Can be the difference.
This is going to be a great test for Bam. Because Bam really chewed up Boston pretty good. And this has got a lot better big men than what he saw. This will be a good test. Playing against guys that are just as long and see how he does. And some guys are physically even a little bigger.
Yep. I like Miami's chances due to no pressure. They're playing with house money now. LeBron, the Lakers, all the pressure.
I agree with that, man. Yeah. I'm all aboard on that. Although some will say, yeah, but look who's got all the experience. With Iguodala's got a ton too. But like LeBron's been through this. He's been on teams favored. He's been on teams that, you know, like Cleveland, that weren't favored playing against, you know, the Golden State Warriors. But I agree with you, man. Like, those guys, like, hey, guys, let's just go out and play. Nobody thought we were going to be here. Let's just do it. Let's go get one.
Right.
Let's put some demons in their head. Let's knock it down. Take those threes, man. Don't be passing them up.
DC Rob texts in. He's very happy today. All these Miami teams winning or are in the playoffs. I'm as happy as Hollywood at a sausage party.
They're never going to let that go. The sausage, the thought of Hollywood and his nine buddies getting together.
You know what? That's okay. I like that we all get together every year. So screw you, DC Rob. I don't like DC Rob. You've never seen anything nice to say to me.
No, DC Rob is all.
Hey, Woody, the thing I still don't get, like, I get it if there's 9 or 10 of you guys getting together and you go away for your fantasy football draft, but. Like, so when you're not, you can't do the fantasy football for 2 full days nonstop, morning, noon, and night.
No.
And you can't go out. There was nothing going on, so you couldn't go, like, downtown Nashville and go bar hopping and, you know, look at a couple little country girls running around there and
well,
all those.
Well, they did Nashville 1 year. Didn't you do Nashville 1 year?
What is it, Joe? What do you want to know?
So what you guys do the whole time?
What else did you do besides drafting?
We bonded. I don't know.
Sound down. You don't have to be there.
No, I know where he's getting at. Yeah, Joe, we were all in the house. We were stuck in the house, yeah.
Oh, he's mad.
He's mad now. Way to go, DC Rob. Way to go.
Oh, man. What else you guys
have? Yeah, Joe, we all sat around in a circle and stared at each other.
It's your turn. It's your turn. What's going on in your life? Oh,
right.
Thanks.
Who's next? Yeah. Hi, I'm Hollywood. Right.
We all went around in a circle and talked about how our lives have been turned upside down by the pandemic.
I'm just glad you didn't say you're getting ready to have a circle. You scared me.
Right. No, I knew that's where you were going, Joe. It's really funny.
Joe really is a 5-year-old, but I love it. I love
God,
it.
Man.
Yeah, that's immature even for my taste.
Very
man.
Immature. Very. I'm growing up, man. I got a couple maturity pills left.
I don't know about that. Teddy from Pompano said, morning, boys. Hollywood, throwing a golf club at anyone would be assault, period. Come on, man. Earlier in the show.
I didn't say it wouldn't be assault. I just say you don't kick him out of a tournament. Like, if Tiger...
So, like...
If Tiger misses a putt and he goes, like, Happy Gilmore and launches it into the gallery or whatever, and he happens to strike someone, you let him deal with it after the tournament.
First of all, they slam them and break them over their knees or slam them on the ground. Either way, they get in trouble.
Right.
If they spit,
They go on Tiger about
club at somebody. Can you imagine seeing that?
Throw it at somebody. He's throwing it if it happens to hit someone. But, it's like what Djokovic said. He didn't mean to hit the woman who couldn't get out of the way in the throat. He didn't mean to do that. She was just happened to be standing there.
There's a little difference there. Still, not some of your best work. So you're talking a tennis ball. He flips over and hits her with a racket with the tennis ball. And you're talking about that putter.
That lady had at least two Mississippi to get out of the way of that ball.
That's BS.
And she made a conscious decision in her head because she had so much time. She said, I'm going to let this ball drill me right in the throat instead of moving an inch out of the way so we can keep playing the tournament. I'm going to let this thing hit me so I can collect. That's what she did.
There's no lawsuit, Jerky. Jeez. There's no lawsuit.
Yet. I mean, you think she's being recruited by every lawyer in town right now.
You think all the ambulance chasers are out?
Right. All calling her. Right.
You're a real loser today, Hollywood.
Right.
I love you, but you got some loser in you on your golf and tennis stuff.
DC First, Rob texted back and said, laugh out loud. This is why I love the show, even Hollywood. Keep it up, guys.
You know what's amazing? He got me. I heard him ripping the friggin' French Open over there like, well, French Open. Kiss my ass, Hollywood.
Hey, right back at you, Joe and DC Rob.
Hey, man. We're out of time. Have a great day, everybody. Stu Gotts, Levy and Stu Gotts coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.